in every community that we lived in. We lived in Orange County before here, and after 9/11, a lot of people moved north. And I don't blame them at all. It's just that small communities all of a sudden have too many people, too much traffic, and it takes a while to figure out how to handle all of that. Those changes happen sometimes whether you want them to or not. But if you have some way of controlling them, then you can manage them better. And I think that if you've never come across that before, and here that hasn't, I don't think it's really happened, you just don't know that those things can happen. And you think that it's always going to be the way it is now, and that you can live, near your neighbors but not be bothered. And those things do change and make an impact on your life. And certainly the fracking with the horizontal drilling would do that. And it already had divided families because some families were pro-fracking and some families were some parts of the family were anti-fracking. And you might have, elderly relatives who could be hurt by either their property, their mortgages, their health. Those kinds of things are impacted, and you don't realize that can happen, and then all of a sudden there it is confronting you. And certainly we have Pennsylvania and 30 something other states that this is happening in. I think that if we can pay attention to that, we have more chance of keeping the places that we like the way they are.
Can you tell me about how fracking would affect someone's health? How does that happen?
Yes, it has. There are a lot of chemicals that are used in fracking that can impact people's health. Some of them are chemicals that cause breathing problems. So if somebody already has emphysema or asthma, that just is made worse. There are others that can cause birth defects. When you combine a lot of chemicals, they're going to react in some way together, so that I think it just makes it worse. Let's see, what else can it do for health? Different cancers. Some of the chemicals are carcinogens. They're known carcinogens. And the fracking industry has what they call proprietary mixtures that they use to do the fracking. And health professionals, who are nurses, doctors, EMS, EMTs, whatever, they don't necessarily know what's in the fracking fluid. And if somebody comes to them who has had some kind of contact with the chemicals, they don't know how to treat them. And that's, time lost in trying to get somebody past whatever the first danger is, and to try and figure out how to help them.
Can you tell me about your relationship with your neighbors?
Yes. We have neighbors who are very friendly to us. And we have neighbors who also probably are not happy with us because we are against the fracking. We were told that we were... keeping them from making money if they were to lease their land. I guess that's not a very good neighborly relationship.
And how do you deal with that?
Well, we tried to talk to people about how this could impact them. We have a neighbor who values his land, and he said if it could be done safely, he would like to have it done, and he would also like to have the kind of job that comes with it, because that's good for family finances. He said if he thought it would injure his family in any way, he would be against it. But the oil and gas industry has a lot of their own information out saying that that's not going to happen, that it is safe and that nobody's going to get hurt. And unless people do the reading and pay attention to the information about it, they really don't know, because they're just listening to one side of the story.
Where do you get your information?
News, for one thing, on the internet. There's a lot of information, and there are studies being done that talk about what the chemicals are and what they do. All of that information is available to anybody who wants to look. I think a lot of people are really afraid of finding out the information, and they might not look. But because I'm interested, I do look. I really don't want to have a future where people have to worry about their health, or their property values, or their safety. And so I'm interested and I look. There are studies that are done by attorneys about how this will impact whether you can get insurance or not for your property, whether a bank will give you your mortgage, whether, about property values. There are studies done by health professionals about what this can do to your health. There are a lot of websites. Just about every town around here has one, like the one that we had. And we all gather information from so many different places and put it in one place for people to read if they'd like. So, and I've also read the information from the oil and gas industry and the things that come from our government about fracking.
Now, you spoke earlier about the town board meetings that you attended. Can you tell me more about those?
Yes, I wish that I had started attending town board meetings years ago in places that I lived in, because I really was so involved in my own life, raising a child and growing our food or at work, because work takes up a lot of your time. Now that I'm retired, I have a lot more time and I can pay attention to these things. But town board meetings are really informational. You find out how the town is spending your tax money that you give them every January or whenever. You hear about everything from stray dogs to what's going on in the local court. How the different people's properties are assessed. What else? People come and talk about local issues. A couple of meetings I've been to, people have talked about different things having to do with local cemeteries, about whether somebody can be buried in a cemetery or who's taking care of the cemetery. We don't have our own fire department or our own school or our own library in this town, so those are issues that don't usually come up. But there are different people on the board who talk about issues as they come up. Most of what goes on at our town meetings has to do with highway and road maintenance, which is very important. In a small town, we have state roads, we have county roads, but we also have town roads, and so that's a big subject. When we were attending the meetings at first and we were bringing our information to try and inform people, there was one particular instance that came up. Well, there were a couple of meetings where people came who had a different opinion about the fracking than we did. And at one of those meetings, an attorney came from the Finger Lakes area, and he spoke about fracking, and he was threatened at the end of that meeting. Someone drew a gun on him. We now have a new ordinance in I'm not exactly sure even what it's called, but you can't come into the town building with a weapon anymore. Whether people did ordinarily anyway, I don't think so, but certainly that night, that was sort of a wake-up call for the board. And the board also brought people who they thought they wanted to listen to about fracking. We had asked for several people to come. They did have this one attorney come. We had asked for some other people to come and talk about it and how it would impact our town in relationship to the other towns, too. And people can come and get on the agenda to inform the town about an issue that they're particularly interested in. And I find it very interesting. And our relationship, I think, with the board has changed somewhat in that only about 4 or 5 of us come. And they have allowed us time to speak our piece and have also listened to us on other issues besides the fracking. And I think we've all come to the meeting now interested in other issues as well, because it's our town. I wish more people would come and do that. So.
What kind of issues what kind of other issues are you talking about now?
Well, as I said, there's the highway and different issues about roads. It's not just the maintenance of roads, but it's whether certain roads should be kept open to the public or whether they should have a different designation. Let me think of what else. And the cemeteries I had mentioned. Whether we should have a sign to inform people about the meetings and when they are and what the subjects are. And I can't think of any others right now. But there have been others. It's trash. We have had in the past a contract with a nearby town so that we all bring our trash to the same dump. And we've been cut loose from that. And so a bunch of meetings have been on how to handle that issue and how to make it a town-centered issue. There's also an electrical line which would be going from upstate to New York City and would come through. It already came through Burlington once, and that was the last big issue, I think, before fracking. I wasn't here for that, and it was a different, some of the same people and also different set of people who were concerned about that. And also another issue is a lot of people don't have the internet here, and we're lucky we're on this state road where Time Warner Cable goes through and we have cable and internet, but most people don't. And that's been an issue as well. Cell phone towers, different things like that.
And what do you feel was your place in the community when you first moved here? And what do you think your place in the community is now?
Well, when we first moved here, we were working in Cooperstown. And we bought an older house and we fixed it up. We didn't attend anything in town. We didn't know very much about the town and we didn't spend as much time as we should have trying to find out more about how things were going, including town board meetings. Mostly we were centered with our job in Cooperstown and that's where our friends were. So we weren't here very often. And once I retired and became involved in the Concerned Burlington Neighbors and the anti-fracking, I became more aware of what was going on in town and who people were. And how important it is to be a part of your town. I'll never be accepted because while we've lived here 10 years, we're outsiders and we always will be. And this has happened to us in other communities too, so it's not something that we were unaware of. But we really like the town. We like our house. We like the people that we have met. And so we feel good about living here. We thought when the fracking came about that we would move, we would go someplace where there was no fracking, and we looked at Vermont. And actually, when you start looking around, every state has its issues, and maybe it's just good to stick with what you have, and if you feel it needs to be changed, try and change it. If it doesn't need to be changed, live comfortably.
What do you think your greatest success has been in dealing with these environmental issues around town?
I think just making people aware. There was actually another survey done. The town did another survey, so it was the third survey, and that was in 2011, and it was or 2012, I guess. And that was really very close to what we had figured out. And we pushed for this thing called a comprehensive plan. And before we moved here, I had no idea what it was or that it was important. But what it does, as I said, is it sets out on paper a series of issues that people are concerned about and that they feel need to be either kept the same or changed. And my husband had a lot of experience with that because he had, because when we lived in Barrow, Alaska, he was the deputy director of the planning department there, and he had to deal with comprehensive plans and planning boards and meetings like that. So he knew all about those kinds of things, but he was still working in town when I retired and did all of these things, so he wasn't as involved. He's now on the local planning board, and I think that comprehensive plan is probably the thing that we did that we pressed for. I think they were willing to do it, and I don't think that we brought that up. It was before we even started. It's just that we really kind of pushed hard for it. And it doesn't ban or even give a moratorium to fracking, but it does deal with issues that are important to a small community and to the residents.
Would you have done anything differently looking back now?
Yes. I would have. I think we came on very strong, and I think that that wasn't the right thing to do. We were all scared of the fracking. And still, I still am. I think it's, you know, it's very dangerous, and not only that, but as time has gone on, it's shown itself to be just as dangerous as we thought it would be. There is a lot of science behind the health issue, which I think is a really important one, because we're exposed to so many chemicals anyway, and this just would add more. And it has already damaged lives in the other 34 states, in the 34 states, I think, that already have fracking. And I think it would have been good if we hadn't been so frightened and we had been able to figure out a way to be to say things differently and come across in not such a forceful way, I guess. I'm not even sure that's the right word, but just found another way to get our message across.
What do you think the greatest challenge is coming up in the next few years regarding this issue?
We're still waiting for the governor to decide whether there will be a statewide ban for fracking. He has an idea that it could just be done in a small part of New York State, and that would make everybody happy, and it wouldn't, because the people who would be exposed to the fracking who don't want it in that area, it's called the southern tier of New York State, they don't want it any more than we want it here. So we really have no idea. We still have this moratorium that's going on its sixth year, and mostly it's waiting for the governor to make his decision. He says he's waiting for a health study. There have been lots of health studies done, and this one probably could have been done before. In a way, maybe it's good that it hasn't come out yet, because they have a lot more information that's negative about fracking that could be exposed in the health study. And we really need to wait for the governor to come up with whether he's going to allow the fracking or not, I guess.
What's your greatest hope for the Burlington community?
Well, there are things that I would like to see, but I know won't happen. The fracking issue, I hope, will be resolved in a statewide ban. But there are also other things that are here. The kind of farming that's done here is conventional farming, and it's done with a lot of chemicals. And there are already cancer problems here that from my reading of studies, some of those cancers are caused by the chemicals that are used in farming. And I would like to see something happen that would convince people that they can do another kind of farming. There are already small farmers moving in here, or some have lived here for a long time, who are actually making a living at farming in a more healthful way. The organic farming, I know that that's not everybody's idea of how farming should be done, but these people are actually making a living. And it's not an extraordinary living, but they're making enough to live on, and they're treating the land in a better way than dumping chemicals on it. I'd like to see some way for there to be jobs for the area that would be good for the community, would employ people, and wouldn't hurt the environment, I guess. Those are the things that I would like to see.
You spoke a little bit earlier and just now about economic development and the environment, and it seems that they're kind of at odds. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, because some of the industries that are done in an area are not good for the environment because of the chemicals, not necessarily industries, but because I don't really consider agriculture an industry, although in some ways it is, because of the equipment that's used and the chemicals. So that's something that's at odds. I'm not sure how to answer that one. In a way I can. Without certain things in a comprehensive plan, there are certain industries that can move in. You can have a landfill, which is not good for the environment. when I was first doing some research on comprehensive plans, one of the communities around here, not one of the ones right next to us, but still in the county, said that they started developing a comprehensive plan because they were approached by a medical waste company to have an incinerator in their community. They didn't have a comprehensive plan, and so they were open to anything that could come in. And when they started looking into what a medical waste facility would bring to their community, they decided they didn't want to have it. It was there were health and safety issues that they were concerned about, and so that's what spurred them on to do the comprehensive plan. There's another aspect of the fracking, which doesn't actually mean that you have to have fracking in your community, but they bring pipelines in. And we already have one nearby here, and there was already, I was told, an explosion, not a major explosion. And that's only about 15 miles from where we live. One of the activities that has to do with fracking is they have to have a way to get that fracked gas places, so they build pipelines. And there are several pipelines that are being considered now. And that could change a community, too. They bring in these things called a compressor. And the noise from a compressor is very loud. And there, it also emits other things into the atmosphere that you don't want to have, but it's necessary to move the gas through the pipeline. So those are things that we call the ancillary activities that happen around fracking, and that wouldn't be good for the environment. I think the idea of having small industries that don't impact the environment in a negative way is good, and farming that wouldn't harm the environment as well.
Is there anything on your timeline that you'd like to illuminate before we conclude our interview?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that. No. I guess not. I don't know. I'd have to think about that one a little bit more. Do you have any other questions?
Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we're done?
Yeah, I guess actually what I would like to see happen also is to have more alternative energy in town. I know that there are people who are against the large wind farms, and I totally understand that. I'd like to see something happen so that people can have their own energy generated on their own piece of property. And there are ways that people can do that who have money, and there are ways that people can do that who don't have as much money. You can lease solar panels, and you don't have to put money up front for that. But you do really well with your energy generation. And I think that there'll be more programs like that in the future. I think the state is working on that, trying to figure out how to make it so that people can make their own energy themselves through geothermal or the solar energy or the wind. So I guess that's probably it. Yeah.
Hey, well, thank you so much, Florence, for talking to me today.
You're welcome.